I'm sitting down with David Iverson, who is a candidate for a write-in candidate for City Council. Good afternoon, David.
How's it going, Aaron?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Okay, we have some questions we're going to ask, and basically this is just your introduction to the voters of Johnson County, specifically Buffalo for City Council. But we've got a few questions here. All of the candidates will get the same questions, so fair as we can make it. Okay. First of all, tell us about David Iverson.
Well, I grew
Who
up
is
here.
David Iverson.
I grew up in Buffalo. I was actually born in Laramie, but that was only because my parents were going to college there. And so I think when I was three, we moved back to Buffalo, and I pretty much lived here my entire life, except for a rather dubious adventure in Virginia. I should have probably done a little bit more research on that one. But I moved back about 5 or 6 years ago. I have a degree in history from Sheridan College. I'm an Eagle Scout. I'm very involved in politics locally. Probably the most recent one was the tax election last year. I started a group that advocated against the tax, and one of the reasons why we have a 5% sales tax right now instead of 6 is the work that we did. But my parents live here, and I plan on staying in Buffalo for the rest of my life.
Fair enough. Okay. Why did you decide to throw your hat in the ring, so to speak?
Well, initially, I wasn't going to run, which is why I didn't file in May. And then when I saw that nobody had filed to run for city council, I thought, quite honestly, that I better practice what I preach and get involved. And I have a great relationship with a lot of the legislators in the state through my work on cowboy state politics. I have a vast understanding of how the city government works, budgeting. I grew up in a small business in Buffalo, so I understand what's required of small businesses. And I think that I would bring a perspective to the city council that is needed. Recently, we've experienced a city council that is more reliant on taxes to do whatever it is that they want to do. And I personally believe that that the government's role is to be small and not be involved in everything. And what we've seen recently with this city council is that we seem to be involved in just about everything. And, you know, that's, again, I mentioned the tax election last year. That was part of it. So I think I'll bring a strong conservative perspective to the city council, and one, frankly, that I think is desperately needed.
Okay. How do you feel that you are prepared and qualified for office? I'll let you think about that for a minute, and then I've got a follow-up to that.
Okay. Well, as I said, through my work on cowboy state politics, okay, I've been involved in all manner of, or actually involved is probably the wrong word. I've reported on all manner of politics throughout the state. And of course, 2 years ago, I ran for city council as well. I'm on the Solid Waste District Board, which if you didn't know, that's probably one of the most important boards in any community. You know, I've been on there for, 4 years, 5 years maybe. So I have a deep understanding of how city finances work, how they ought to operate, how city budgets function, and what you can do to reduce costs and, you know, do what needs to be done and do it conservatively. If that answered your question.
Okay. The follow-up is, what do you think that you need to acquire as far as skills or training to pull that job off?
Well, I think the first thing is it's been a while since I looked at the actual line-by-line on the city budget. 2 years ago, I had it down pat. You know, I could quote you page, paragraph, and sentence, but I haven't really looked at it for 2 years. So I need to bone up on that. I'm not a banking type of individual. So the city finances involve, or the city budget involves a lot of finance work. And it's fortunate that we have Councilman Camino on the board, because that's what he does for a living. So I think I've got quite a little bit to learn as far as finances go I mean, I understand how the budget works and how it ought, how it ought to and can operate conservatively. But I think I need to learn about how all of the different parts of the city are funded, because there's a huge list of government grants and state funding. And so I really have to get a better handle on that.
Fair enough. Okay. A city council member is responsible for the smooth and sensible running of the city of Buffalo, obviously. And that's a big responsibility to keep people safe and make sure that the city runs effectively in the short, medium, and long term. Okay. What do you think are the most important qualities a council member should have to best run that city government?
Number one, the ability to listen.
Okay.
Okay. I've been to, I can't tell you how many city council meetings I've been to. And you attend them all, Aaron, so you know how often the public actually comes to the meeting. And it's not very often, unless there's something that they're really worried about. And I think that that's a symptom of our elected officials being disconnected from people. You know, the concerns are brought to the city council, and whether they're addressed or not, I don't think that people have a really good handle, or they don't believe that their city councilmen are listening to them. And, you know, when's the last time you saw a city councilman say, hey, we need a town meeting to talk about this, you know, outside of the meeting? You know, Aaron, I can't tell you the last time I saw a dissenting vote in anything on the city council. It's all four ayes and no noes. And what that tells you is that those decisions are not made in the city council meeting. They're made in probably the morning business meeting. Well, most of the public can't go to those. Okay, so you have to be accessible to the public. And you have to, and sometimes you have to solicit their opinions from them, because there are, people are busy, you know, paying for the $5 gasoline that we're looking at right now. So they're worried about putting food on the table and taking care of their own homes. They're not necessarily worried about the running of the city. So first, I would say the ability to listen. Second, I would say soliciting the opinion of the people that live in the city. And third, I think you have to have an understanding that the smaller government is the one that functions best. And you have to be able to explain to people that the city doesn't need to be involved in everything. It needs to be small. It needs to only handle the things that are necessary: fire, water, sewer, streets, police, those sorts of things. And so the third quality is the ability to say no. You know, and I keep bringing up that tax last summer, but I think that it's super important, because that whole election represented a willingness of the city to be involved in several different facets of the city, all across the city. Okay, and that's not the role of the government. So I think the third skill that a city councilman needs is the ability to say no and tell people why.
Okay. I got a follow-up to that, because you brought something up that piqued my curiosity. You said accessibility mm-hmm. of the public to city government.
Sure.
As an example, the city of Sheridan has their meetings streamed, and they also have them on local radio up there that are live. So would that be something important that maybe the city of Buffalo might look at, or is that possible?
Absolutely, that's needed.
Okay.
You know, as I mentioned, there's all sorts of meetings outside of the city council meeting mm-hmm. that most people they're either unaware of them, or they're so far removed from them that they don't realize that they're going on. But they're important nonetheless. So I think setting up, live streaming the city council meeting, or at the very least recording it. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I plan on doing, should I be successful in the election, is to make sure that those meetings are recorded. And it just so happens that I have a medium to do that, you know, in addition to what you guys do. You know, for example, a good example is at the Solid Waste District, we're expanding the landfill. It's a huge project. I mean, I think we're talking somewhere around $1.4 million worth of work we're doing out there. But I can't tell you, outside of a newspaper person, I can't tell you the last time any member of the public actually attended. So they have no idea what we're spending their money on. It's fortunate that we've got conservative people on that board that are myself included, that are handling that appropriately. But, you know, it's important for citizens to understand how their money is being spent. So I think live streaming meetings, recording them, making them easily available. You know, if there's one good thing that came out of COVID, Aaron, and this is directly related to the legislature, but one good thing that came out of it is all of the legislative meetings are on YouTube now. Like, you can sit at home in your pajamas and watch what's happening with your government. And that's tremendously important. You know, if you don't know what's going on, you don't know if people are acting in your best interests or not. So absolutely, we should stream them, record them, make it as easy as possible for people to be access their government.
All right. Thank you. What do you think are the best skills and expertise that would be required for the city council?
The best skills and expertise. Well, I already mentioned three of them.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of citizen involvement in government. I think too often we get people get elected and they stay in government for so long that they lose touch with the citizenry. So I think one of the best skills is to keep an open mind about a lot of things. You know, approach it with a little bit of common sense. You know, taxes are not the solution for everything. You know, maybe we ought to operate the government like we do our households. And if you're in government for too long, well, your knee-jerk reaction to just about everything is to raise taxes. And so, I mean, I think an important skill for city councilmen is to have a little bit of common sense. And again, to be, to exercise it.
Okay. Do you feel that you have those skills?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay.
You know, what I do with my work on Cowboy State politics is I watch legislative meetings all the time, and it always amazes me the lack of common sense. For example, there was one session that I'll probably never forget as I watched them spend the ARPA funding. And we spent over $500 million in one morning. First of all, that was amazing. But the very next thing that they discussed was fixing a road, an access road, somewhere down Green River. Well, the reason why they wanted to do that is so that everybody that lived there could get out of their homes in case the road was closed down. Makes sense to me, right? But that didn't fit with what everybody else in the room wanted to do. So they voted that down. The reality is that should have been the first thing that they talked about. You know, so in watching a lot of you know, legislative meetings, committee meetings, you know, it's very evident to me that many of our elected officials do not possess an ounce of common sense.
Okay. David, you have been a public and outspoken figure in the community for quite some time, and some people feel polarizing and divisive. So, fair assessment.
Fair assessment.
How would you, as a city council member, would you find it difficult to, how do I want to word this? Would you find it difficult to represent everyone in that aspect? I mean, even the people that think you may be divisive or polarizing?
Let me answer that in two ways.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, I don't necessarily think that I'm divisive. Okay. I mean, I think I have strong opinions.
Okay.
I think that I'm willing to defend those opinions. And, you know, I'm one of those people that I enjoy debating. In fact, I believe that, you know, we've lost the art of compromise. The truth is, a compromise is a deal that's reached where no one is happy. And, you know, we've lost the ability to talk to one another. And, you know, while some people may say that I'm divisive, to use your words, I'm very much interested in what everybody has to think. You know, the perfect example of that is if you listen to my program at any time, I'm all the time saying, hey, if you're a Democrat, come on my program. Let's talk this out. Let's debate it. Let's find out what the real issues are. You know, and I think probably more than anyone, you know, through college. I mean, I paid for college with speech and debate. And what you do there is you talk to each other. You know, talking to people is what I do on my program. So no, I would not find it hard to talk to people that disagree with me. In fact, I'm able to work with just about anybody.
All right. As far as I know, well, you, other than the board that you mentioned, the landfill board, solid waste district
yep.
board. Okay. Board. You haven't held any office before, but that might be interpreted as a lack of experience to some. What do you think would be the biggest challenge to stepping into the city council?
Well, let me address the experience thing first.
Okay.
In my opinion, a lot of elected officials have too much experience.
Okay.
That is, they have the experience of being in elected office for a very long time. And as I mentioned earlier, that makes you a little bit disconnected from the people that you represent. Second, the way that you get experience is you get elected. And so all of the people that say, well, this candidate doesn't have experience in this office, that's a little disingenuous, because the way that they got experience is that they got elected. Okay? I think the biggest challenge that I would face should I win this election is, you know, working with people who have relied on tax dollars for far too long, that are not experienced in running a conservative budget. And that also happens to be one of my greatest strengths. You know, we've run the solid waste district for several years, and all of it operates off of the operations out there. Like, we haven't had to use an ounce of tax dollars to pay wages or to pay insurance or to keep the lights on or you know, fix equipment or anything like that. All of the tax money goes to expansion of the landfill. Well, what that teaches you is how to work with the money that you bring in and not raise taxes. And so I think it might be a big challenge adding a different perspective to folks that have worked on tax dollars for a very long time.
Okay, fair enough. Imagine city council, typical day. Tell me about it. How do you see, if you win the election, how do you see your typical day as a county, or city councilman?
I think a typical day would probably be returning several phone calls from people who have potholes out in front of their house. Probably calling a lot of people back that have dogs that are barking across the street. And part of that day will be attending meetings. You know, certainly the morning business meeting. But I think most of it is probably just listening to the citizens of Buffalo and what their concerns are, and then finding a solution to whatever problem that they're facing. I don't see it as that difficult of a job. I mean, certainly listening to people and coming up with solutions to whatever problem we're facing is not difficult. And so I think a typical day is just being responsive to everyday citizens. Everyday citizens, that was wrong. What I mean is citizens.
Citizens every day.
That's right.
Gotcha. Okay. Growth seems to be on a lot of people's minds for different reasons. Some people are against, some people are for it. Some are kind of in the middle. How would you tackle the challenges of creating and maintaining good infrastructure, but also attracting a strong local economy and retaining Buffalo's character in the process?
Okay, let me take that in kind of reverse order.
Okay.
First of all, it's not the government's job
okay.
to get involved with business. Hey, that is not the place of government. It's not the government's job to do business development. In fact, that's impossible. If you ever want to know why business development projects fail, it's because the government gets involved. Okay. So the job of the city government, though, is to create conditions by which government can, or a business can prosper. Okay. So that's your business question. Managing growth. Well, the number one issue in every town is streets. Okay. We absolutely have to get a plan together to fix these streets, and it's not that hard. What you do is you make a list of the street that is in the worst condition all the way down to the street that is in the best condition, and you just start at the top and keep working down. Okay? We don't have one of those lists. Have you ever noticed why streets get repaired kind of at haphazard? Well, that's because we don't have a list, right? So, first of all, you have to have a plan to handle the streets. The third answer I would give you on that is that growth is inevitable in every community. And with growth comes, you know, increased tax revenues. And if you're running a conservative budget, you know, paying for those services, water, sewer, streets, should not be an issue. So I think the biggest challenge to managing growth is just to be open to it. You know, and make sure that if you have a new subdivision that wants to come into town, that they all follow the rules. Okay, a good example of one that did not, and this isn't annexed by the city yet, but it soon will become the city's problem, is Richardson Park. Okay, if you drive on one of those streets in the winter, you're likely to get stuck. Okay, that's because there was no planning up there whatsoever. You have septic tanks that are right near wells. You have people sharing wells. You have people sharing septic systems. It's a disaster. Okay, so when a new subdivision comes up, you have to work with the county and with the developer, and make sure that you have a plan for those houses. Okay, or we're going to have another situation like Richardson Park. Now there's a new subdivision that's going in right by the airport. It's going to be a huge one. Okay, well, as I mentioned, you need to do all of those things ahead of time. So that we've got a plan for the streets, the water, the sewer, and all of that. And if we plan ahead and don't do things haphazardly, then you can handle any type of growth. Yeah.
Okay. One of the problems, or one of the issues that I've heard people when they're discussing growth, is the water issue. Mm-hmm. How is this something that you're concerned with as far as, you know, water and Tyhack? And do we have enough for these subdivisions that are proposed to be coming in?
So we have 3 cubic feet per second that comes out of Clear Creek. That's our water rights that comes down the creek. That doesn't sound like a lot of water, but it's a tremendous amount. Okay, we have enough water. Okay, what we don't have is water infrastructure to get the water to the subdivisions.
Okay.
So going back to the last question you asked me, we just have to plan accordingly so that we can get those utilities to that subdivision. But I don't think that, you know, the amount of water is really an issue. You know, that's not a problem that Buffalo has to deal with. Now, you know, getting the other utilities, the water, the sewer, and the streets there, that's what we need to be focused on. We've already put in a huge water line that runs right through that area. So honestly, with that subdivision, that's really not an issue either. You know, just doing the proper planning is probably our main hurdle there.
Okay, thank you. How would you describe your management style?
I tend to be a person that doesn't micromanage people. When I worked for AT&T several years ago in Tennessee, I was supervised anywhere between 50 and 30 people. And you know, the way I managed them is I said, okay, guys, this is the project that we're going to do today. These are the steps that need to happen. Make it happen. So my management style would be to rely on those individuals below me. And if they're qualified individuals, then we don't really have an issue. And when a problem does arise, then you address that problem and figure out whatever a solution is. But I'm not the type of person that micromanages people. In fact, I kind of hate that. It irritates me to death. You just have to provide guidance to those people that are below you, and Trust them to make to get the job done. When they don't, well, then you correct the problem.
Okay. Those are the questions.
Okay.
I have one final thing.
All right.
Here is your chance. Here are the voters in Buffalo, not Johnson County. Here are the voters in Buffalo. Make your appeal. Why should the voters in Buffalo vote for David Iverson for city council?
For one simple reason, that I love this community. It's the community that I grew up in. I can't imagine a better place to live. And I've lived a lot of different places in the country. And I always come back to here. My thoughts always came back to here. You know, it's a funny thing that when you grow up here, the one thing you want to do is get the heck out of here. And then when you move to other places and you experience what life is like there, you realize that that was kind of a dumb decision. And so I want to help Buffalo continue to be the amazing place that it is. Also, I want to make it a better place. I think that I have the experience to be effective on city council, and I absolutely want the job, and I would absolutely love for you to vote for me on August 16th.
That is David Iverson. He is a candidate for Buffalo's city council, a write-in candidate. So,
as they all are.
Yes, as they all are. So thank you, David, for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to visit with me.